Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, let's get to it. This is a serious one. Now, this is odd because there have been some tweets, right, about a story that is going to come out. It's not out yet, but it's a story that's going to come out about Robert Sarver, who's the owner of the Phoenix Suns, and it's going to be ESPN. You may know a little bit more about it than me, Rob, so correct me if I'm wrong.
No, ESPN. It's an ESPN story, yes. So this
right.
Is...
And it's going to supposedly...
Alleged.
Now, the tweets I saw were not from ESPN reporters, Rob.
Right, no. It was other people saying
the story.
Is
that the case with you? Right.
Yes, that the story's coming out.
It's going to come out.
But the Suns put out a statement, Chris, saying an ESPN story.
Let's allege. The story allegedly... accuses the Suns and owner Robert Sarver of racism, sexism, and other, you know, egregious discriminatory acts. And like you said, the Suns have already put out a couple of statements denying it and saying that, you know, I mean, Robert Sarver put out a statement categorically, Rob, denying any... racism or sexism or anything like that.
Chris,
so we have to wait and see what happens. But at this point, we're just waiting on the story to come out.
I agree, but I do have to say this. And you know this being in the newspaper business and just the news gathering business. For somebody to put out a statement before the actual story is even published tells you it's very serious and probably, you know, damaging. Because you're trying to do damage control, Chris, before anybody's read anything. Like, think about that. Usually you have to see what it says first, right? He hasn't read the story.
Right.
Adam Schefter didn't send him the story to read ahead of time if they're doing an investigative piece. So what does he really know other than... I couldn't help myself. I know. Other than... the questions that ESPN or the reporter asked. Do you know what I mean, Chris? That would give you insight if they asked for, say, hey, we got some questions about some serious allegations and we want to get a comment from you. That would be their only way of really knowing what the story's about. But they haven't read the story and the Suns have put out a statement.
Well, but I would say that I think you make a good point. But I would say this as well, Rob, and one of the tweets is from Jordan Schultz, all right, who of the Schultz Report. And he said, here's his tweet, Rob, and it came out at 4:30 Eastern time this afternoon. Breaking, the NBA is preparing for a massive story accusing Suns owner Robert Sarver of racism, sexism, and sexual harassment in a series of incidents, sources say. With enough evidence to support such claims, there's a real chance the league would forcibly remove Sarver.
So that gives him
an indication that this is serious.
Right. No, I get that. But the story still hasn't come out yet. I mean, like usually, I'm just saying under normal circumstances.
No, usually.
I need to see a story first before I tell you what's true and what's not true. I haven't seen a story.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
So. Yeah. But what he says, he basically just says, you know, I haven't, you know, committed racism and sexism and so on and so forth. I mean, I can read a portion of his statement, but, you know, they put it out on their own Twitter, the Phoenix Suns on their Twitter. And again, Sarver very adamant about, you know, here it is. First and foremost, I reject any insinuation of personal or organizational racism or gender discrimination. I despise language that disrespects any individuals, regardless of race, gender preference, or choice. Such language has no place in business or at home in what I consider Suns and Mercury, Phoenix Mercury family. So on and so forth. So, you know, like I said, Rob, we have to wait and see. Look, I've dealt with Robert Sarver. Haven't talked to him in years, but, you know, dealt with him back in the day a lot more than I do now. But, right. You know, it was fine. I mean, I don't know enough about him.
Right. And just the way he treated you doesn't mean that you know, like,
oh, right.
When
exactly.
people say doesn't that all the time, like, hey, yeah. well, I talked to him. He was a nice guy to me. That doesn't mean anything. We get it. You could say that you had an interaction and it was nothing. But that doesn't prove anything in a positive way or negative way about what he was doing to other people. So people got to be careful with that. But this is interesting, just that ESPN is a partner with the NBA, Chris, okay? They're not going to put a story out about an owner that's going to damage, like the relationship. And they must have enough information.
Well, they could, they might not. They could.
Right, but I'm saying because
You're saying lies, right? Yeah,
you better make sure that because they have a relationship. True. You know what I mean? Like, you might run a story if you're doing a story on something else, and you don't have a business deal. There's no billion-dollar TV package on the line, you know, and you might do the story,
right?
But there's a relationship here, and I can't believe that ESPN would be willing to put out such a story without contacting the league, the commissioner, whatever. This is what we got. We can't turn our backs.
Right.
We're a news gathering organization, and we do stories. Just like we did with the NFL and concussions. Yep. Right, Chris? They had to do those stories. The NFL didn't like it.
Right.
ESPN said, we got to do our job, our business.
Right. No, this is going to be interesting. I mean, the biggest reputation about Sarver, you may have even heard this, Rob, is that he's cheap. Like that, over the years, that's been the view of Sarver, is that he's cheap and the organization under his ownership is not well run, which is why they've been bad up until last year for, you know, they had been a decade without making the playoffs.
Right.
And people felt like he didn't, you know, just didn't put enough money into the organization. You see now, they weren't willing to pay DeAndre Ayton, Rob, the max contract. And so that's been his image. So we'll see. I can't wait to see the story.
But they do have a black coach and a black general manager, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Monty Williams is a great head coach. And James Jones,
right? Who won executive of the
year
last year?
Yeah. So there's that. They've also had them in the past. Frank Johnson, I believe, was a coach there. Lance Blanks was a general manager there. You probably know Lance from Detroit.
I know Lance.
Remember
real well.
Lance Blanks?
Yeah, I know Lance.
So they, and again, it doesn't mean that
Alvin Gentry
wasn't
was
stuff
coach
that went
there.
On. Right,
Alvin Gentry.
Right. Yep. So there is all of that, and, you know, we're not accusing or exonerating. At this point, we have no idea. Like everyone else, we're waiting to see the story. We just find it interesting, as Rob said, that they came out and attempted to get so far in front of this. And that is a bit unusual. But, you know, we'll see what comes of this, Rob. But the fact that this reporter threw it out there, that this could be like a Donald Sterling situation.
Right. That's the way he painted
it's very
it.
Very interesting.
Right. And with Donald Sterling, remember, there was always stuff about Donald Sterling, but until they actually had the audio, Chris, that changed everything. So I don't know what they have on Carver, and it says that they got this evidence.
Sarver. Yeah, Robert
Sarver. I'm sorry. Sarver. Yep. That's the part that, you know, you just don't know what they have.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But, Rob, you heard DeSager just give an update on the Sixers-Nets game, which is obviously an intriguing game. Right now, Philadelphia jumped to an early lead. They're up 27-20 with about 3 minutes left in the – now make it 30-20. Tobias Harris just drained a three with 3 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left in the first quarter. Looking good so far. I know it's early without Ben Simmons. But And speaking of Ben Simmons, Rob, today he did meet with the Sixers, the whole team, and he reportedly took accountability for what he had done. He said everybody's to blame, and he said including himself. Sounds like some sort of olive branch, but he did say he's not yet mentally ready to play with the team yet. And so we'll see where this ends up going, but that's the situation right now. Rob, your thoughts?
A, they're probably, you know, his people, Chris, are talking to him and saying, dude, you're going to have to be contrite somewhat. Otherwise, this is going to spiral right. And you're not going to get paid. Like you're going to be suspended. Like, you can't keep doing this, right? There's a point of being
just
upset.
Be insubordinate. Yeah,
right.
Refuse to work.
You can't do that. Like, that's what you can't do. You don't have to like it, Chris. You know that. You work with people. You don't like all the orders or people tell you what to do. But sometimes you just have to, you know, bite your lip and do what you got to do and do your job. And then worry about the other stuff later. But the one thing that I do have an issue with is, and I'm not, Chris, I understand mental health and people having mental issues, but I think sports is about to get to a slippery slope. And that's because it's hard to measure. It's hard to, you know exactly what's going on. And I think it's going to be, unless the owners decide, you can have a mental health day. You can say you're not feeling it. But we have the right not to pay you because we can't diagnose it. Right, Chris? We can't, you know.
Right.
You got a bad leg. I can't play. I got a bad ankle. I can take an x-ray and look at the ankle or the doctor and say, he can't play. Can't play.
Right. Or get your butt out there. You're fine.
Do you know what I mean? Like you can't.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think when you talk about mental health, it's a slippery slope. And, you know, if I don't want to do something, but I still want to get paid, I could use that. And no, who's going to tell me how I'm feeling mentally, Chris? There's no machine. There's no x-ray machine. There's nothing. I can lay on the couch and talk to somebody and I can tell them how I'm feeling, or I can make it up and say that I'm feeling worse than I really am. Right? So
absolutely.
I think this is tough, and I think it's going to be like, you could have a mental health day, you can't get paid. I just think that's the only way you're going to stop people from abusing it, Chris, because I don't think people will abuse it if there's no money involved. I really don't. I think that would be a deterrent to a certain extent. That's just me.
We're in lockstep, Rob. This is not getting toward a slippery slope. They're already there. We saw it with Simone Biles. And we're not saying she wasn't really mentally disturbed, I guess. I don't want to put it that way. It makes her sound crazy. But, you know, like, she wasn't having some issues. We saw Naomi Osaka. It's becoming more and more common. Kyrie Irving last year. And like you said, how can you measure it?
Can't.
And my thing is this, Rob. Well, let me backtrack. I do think the league needs to try its best to have some way of evaluating whether or not a guy really has mental issues and problems. Like, I think they need, each team needs to have an independent doctor, psychologist, or something like that. And the league may need to have one, too. Because you can't have players or people in general claiming mental health issues just randomly.
Right.
Because here's my thing. And I said it yesterday, Rob. There are legitimate mental health issues. And then there are the everyday challenges of life. Rob, I moved around a lot. I mean, we joke about that on the show, right?
Right.
I moved around a lot as a kid.
Sure.
Born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Moved to Cincinnati, Ohio when I was a baby. Lived there about 7 years. Moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. Lived there 4.5 years. Moved from there to Syracuse, New York. Lived there 1.5 years. Moved to Des Moines, Iowa for 2.5 years. And then finished high school in Cleveland. Went to Cleveland late in my junior year of high school. Finished high school there. Rob, there were times. The first day was always the toughest.
Right.
Right? You're walking in there. You don't know a soul. Right. Everybody's looking at you. And in some cases, you the black kid.
Right.
You know?
The places you're talking about, right.
Not everywhere, but some of the places. And you don't feel like going to school. But you know what? You suck it up. And you go through it. And you handle adversity. And everything ended up being fine. And there are times in life, whether it's you had a bad day at your job. Rob, look at us. And I get it. The players, it's more so than us. Right. But we are also in a public job. Also get criticized on Twitter and social media, ripped. You know, other media may rip us. Like, players may call you out. And that doesn't feel good. But you know what? You got to show up the next day. On TV, on radio, whatever it may be. And I just think that every little challenge, every little thing you don't feel like doing, every little time you're afraid, isn't a mental health crisis. It's called perseverance. It's called life. And I told you yesterday, when I first started playing organized sports, all the big boys was like, yo, get ready to be yelled at.
Right.
You got to be tough.
This ain't going to be no piece of cake.
And again, I'm not trying to be – right. I'm not trying to belittle real mental health issues. But you hit it on the head. You can just claim it anytime you want.
Anytime.
And if we're just going to accept your word for it, where are we headed?
Right. Especially when you're talking about, the money aspect. And like, you know, Chris, for other things, right, if you have an injury, can't play, you get paid. So I'm sure that there's going to be some push from the union to be like, well, if he has a mental health day, he should still get his money. And that's where the owners, and you said it before, you've already talked to some owners or an owner who said, you watch and see this next collective bargaining agreement. Because they feel like they got to rein in the players union, right? They got to rein them in. Before this gets out of hand, they're giving guys $200 million, and then the next week the guy wants out and then wants all his money and, you know, and damages the organization.
Right.
Like what?
Right.
I wish you would have been like James Harden, who rightfully, Chris, didn't sign the deal with the Rockets, right? That money was there on the table.
You got to get me. Exactly.
He said, nah, I don't want to be here. I'm not going to. He could have said, I'm going to sign this and still force my trade, and then
still,
I'll have this money in Brooklyn. He could have done that.
Absolutely.
I give him credit that he didn't want to go that route and be disingenuous in that standpoint. So I don't know where you go, Chris, and how you really determine
how
doctors
figure it out. I think your idea is good. Yeah, I mean, you obviously got to get doctors involved, but your idea is good, and the union would fight it. And look, again, if it's real mental health, then you should get some time off, and I would say with pay.
Right.
But if it's just
– if it's just because you had a bad Tuesday.
I'm going to say this about Ben – right. I'm going to say this about Ben Simmons. I do think, Rob, he is distressed mentally. And I got to be honest. And y'all, everybody knows, you've been hearing me say it on every platform I'm on. If you don't work, you shouldn't get paid. And I think Ben has been playing the victim card. And I think Ben needs to show up and persevere through this situation. But I got to be honest. I really, right now, Rob, I don't really want to see him play in front of that Philadelphia crowd. Until, like, he makes a public statement of amends. And, you know, his teammates, Tobias Harris, came out with a great statement, said they're going to be right by him and they're there for him. And when he's ready to go, they got him. So I love that. But there needs to be that type of, relationship with Ben and the fans because, and I say this, Rob, I just don't want to see this grown man crumble if the fans in Philadelphia really put it on him. I just think it'd be, it makes me want to cringe when I think about if he really, I feel like he's scared to go out there and play.
I agree. But I think, I don't know him, Chris, at all. But he comes off like a big baby. I don't know what other word or term to use. Like, you have to stand up for yourself, go out, play. It's okay. If you can accept the cheers, Chris, you have to understand that there comes a time when the fans aren't on your side and where you get booed and things aren't going your way. But that's what makes the cheers sweet, right? Is that you can turn people the other way around. There are redemption stories all the time. Redemption is real. I don't think there would be people in Philadelphia like, he's a piece. We got a team. We got a chance to be in the mix to get to the finals, have a chance to win a championship. And had he accepted the criticism from Doc Rivers and others and said, hey, this summer I need to work on some things. I need to get bigger and better and work on my shot, and I'm going to do all I can. We got something good here, and I got to be better in the big games.
Right.
Chris, tell me fans would hate him. No,
they'd love him.
What? They would love him. What? Awesome. Work it out. Get a shooting coach. Work with somebody to work on your confidence on the court. Like seriously.
Right.
All right.
Right.
That's all people want to hear. People give people chances all the time, but when you run and hide and you make excuses, you become an easy target because you're not facing up to what it is. You got to take sometimes handle things.
Take responsibility.
Take responsibility.
It's as simple as that. And I think, look, right, and if I was running the Sixers and Ben said what he said today, I'm not mentally ready to join the team. But if he made amends in the meeting, if he told us all, look, I'm sorry, I'm the blame. I do think some of you guys are to blame. We all got to accept responsibility, but I'm ready to accept mine. Like, now if we're on talking terms,
right?
Now if, you know, we're working together, I'm willing to give Ben a little time. I real talk. Like, I'm really, look, Ben, all right, if you need a couple weeks to get yourself ready, you know, you thought you were leaving. You had no intention of coming here and playing. I get it. But we'll give you a couple weeks. Get yourself together. Stay here. Work out. You know, work with the coaches. But it's a couple weeks. It's not indefinite. You know what I mean?
We want you to get yourself together. And if you can't do that in a couple of weeks, then maybe we have to think about something else. Like this is what we need from you. You're not injured. Okay, that's one thing. If you're injured, Chris, right? You're Kawhi Leonard, it's going to be 4 months. Yeah. We get it. Okay, do what you got to do. But you're not injured. We need you. We want you. And we're paying you. Right. So I think that's where, things have to be different.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest goes way back with us to the old network, now the host of the Half Forgotten History podcast, Trey Wingo. Trey, what's up, buddy?
What's happening?
Oh, boys, how are you? Great to talk to you. How you doing?
Doing great.
We are great,
always.
Man. It's always good to have you on, definitely. All right, we're going to get into the NFL with you, Trey. Let's start with the trade rumors about Deshaun Watson. Does it make sense to you that Miami, if this is true, would trade for Deshaun at this point with us having no idea whether is he's going to be able to play football long term?
No, and it's not just Miami, Chris. I don't understand why anyone would want to give up what the Texans are asking for and what apparently the Dolphins are willing to give for a quarterback that you have no idea what is going to be the legal and league ramifications in terms of penalties, suspensions, or potential imprisonment. I can't figure out why anyone would want to make that move without having 100%, literally 100% certainty about what potentially could be impacting his ability to play on the field for you guys. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Trey, that being said, what does it say about Tua? Because last year, you remember, with Fitzpatrick, they were, you know, flipping him in and out of the starting lineup. Then there was rumors that they might take a quarterback in the draft. They didn't do that. But now it seems as if they just don't want Tua or they don't believe in him. There's got to be more behind the scenes or in practice or something. What are you hearing on why they have soured so on Tua? He hadn't even started that many games.
Rob, that's an excellent question, and I can't answer that for you, but it's a legitimate question to anybody covering the Dolphins. Look, you guys literally set out an agenda to tank for Tua, and
right.
Then you know Joe Burrow had his incredible season, which is going to be, I believe, the greatest season in the history of college football when it comes to a quarterback. And then you had Justin Herbert and the things Justin Herbert has done. So you could make a very compelling argument that the idea of Tua is the third best idea of all those rookie quarterbacks that came in that same year. However, I just don't understand the idea of like giving up on him, okay? Like, we're in this really weird situation in the NFL where if it doesn't work out in the first six games,
right,
you completely sour on your quarterback.
Right.
Listen, the only knock that I can say on Tua is that so far we've seen from him what we saw at Alabama, which is he's prone to injury. And it's not a knock on him per se. It's just the way the game has gone. And if you have a lot of injuries, the best ability in the NFL is availability, and that has been a problem for him. But you literally were going to tank for this guy, and you then think less than a year and a half later that he's not the solution. I just that's short-sighted by me. I mean, Troy Aikman, when he was the number one draft pick in 1989.
Yep.
Didn't win a single game. The only game that the Cowboys won that year in 1989 was when he was injured and Steve Walsh was the quarterback. So, look, I'm not it's a weird situation, right? Because I'm not trying to say, hey, the old ways were better, but let's all just take a breath here, okay? Whatever Tua is going to be, you need to develop around him. And if Miami's willing to give up on him so quickly, I think it says more about Miami than it does about Tua.
But let me follow this up, and here's the other interesting part, is any trade with Houston, you would think, would involve Tua, and then the story report is Houston doesn't want him. They're like, we want a deal, but we don't want Tua. So I'm saying to myself, what?
Well, there's a whole different scenario there, right? I think it's pretty clear.
Is that the money part? Go ahead.
Well, no, I just think it's that Houston as an organization is terrible. I mean, okay. They decided to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, right, for a beat-up running back in David Johnson, whom I admire for his ability to play. But there's a whole other situation when it comes to Houston about what they do and what they don't do as an organization. So I'm not willing to, throw shade on Tua based on what Houston thinks about him, because I think Houston is a clueless organization.
Trey, let's go to – I know it's early for MVP talk, but what the heck, let's do it anyway. Rob
yep.
and I were talking earlier in the week about Derrick Henry, and could he break the string of quarterbacks winning MVP?
What is it, since 2012,
What do you think it's – he's on pace to break – obviously Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record for a single season. Now, granted, it would be in 17 games, not 16. But do you think there's any realistic chance of Henry winning the MVP, or is it going to go to a quarterback?
Well, listen, I think it's possible, right? I mean, we have to understand that in this day and age, everything is judged on a different scale. I think it's possible that he could win it. I mean, he's on pace to set, as you said, not only break Eric Dickerson's single season record, he's on pace for 2,219 yards, I think, and 28 NFL rushing touchdowns, which would tie LaDainian Tomlinson's mark. But honestly, I think a more interesting discussion is what's going on with Lamar Jackson, because the story on Lamar, or the book on Lamar, was, well, if you get behind, you know, if he gets behind, he can't come back. Well, right. He was behind 11 against the Chiefs and then behind 19 against the Colts. And he found a way to win both of those games. I would argue that while what Derrick Henry is doing is incredible, I mean, what the numbers he's putting up have only happened twice through six games. Jim Brown in 1958 and Eric Dickerson in his first six games as an NFL player since 1983. But what Lamar Jackson is doing, he's flipped the script. Like, it used to be if you get up on Baltimore and, you know, you have a double-digit lead, you're not going to win. Well, Lamar Jackson has thrown that away twice. Like, I would argue that at this point in the season, Lamar Jackson is probably the leading MVP candidate because of what he's been able to do from the pocket. Like, we all know he can run. We all know he can do those things. But he's found a way to throw and get his team back in games. And we certainly saw that in the situation with the game Monday night against the Colts a couple of weeks ago. So, like, Derrick Henry is ridiculous. There's so many outliers that he sort of checks, and it's crazy. But honestly, I think Lamar Jackson is the MVP through the first 6 weeks of the season.
That was my pick.
That's our man Trey Wingo, host of the Half Forgotten History podcast. Trey, we appreciate
Trey, thank you,
brother.
You, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, guys. Love you, man. Always a pleasure. Anytime. Let me know.
You too, buddy.
All right.
Stay well.
Yep. Peace.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.